Have you ever watched someone make wrong choices based on their fear or insecurity? Don't you just want to help them make wiser choices? Well, listen in for some good tidbits on how to help a person struggling with fear and insecurity.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Cherie Ferzonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
If you want to follow along in the discussion, purchase the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum from the links provided. It's going to make what we talk about a bit more understandable. But if you don't have it, no worries, you're still benefit by listening.
Episode 2.10. Today in our podcast, we are discussing Session 2, page 18, number 7, Fear and Insecurity.
So, Matt, what did you think about this portion of the curriculum?
I have a few questions on it, and I think that they're, you know, good questions for you to answer, because I think that the questions that I have are based on needing experience to get answers out from them. What I was immediately, you know, thinking about was, what are some of the co-symptoms of fear? You know, we're talking about here these symptoms. I'm thinking that, you know, like most people don't throw out those symptoms right away, you know, like,
right.
So I wanted to ask you, you know, like I'm assuming that there comes when like you're talking with somebody and they have these maybe underlying or hidden symptoms that kind of mask this fear. What are some of those underlying symptoms that you've seen, or these masking characteristics that fear is hiding behind? Can you see those and list those for us?
Sometimes when you're watching a person's life and you see them making really wrong choices, mm-hmm. and you start asking the Lord, why are they making these choices? What's going on? A lot of times you can see the fear and insecurity in their life. Like I've watched women start dating guys that are not good for them. But when you really start talking to them and finding out, why are you with this guy? Oh, well, he promises me this, or he says he'll really take care of me. Mm-hmm. And so you see that she's not making a choice based on she's attracted to this mm-hmm. guy, or it's somebody she normally would have picked. It's because she's afraid of something. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's afraid of living on her own. Maybe she's afraid of not being able to financially succeed in life or whatever. And this person is giving her that element of security that she mm-hmm. has in her insecure world. And so you can see things like that. You can see, like, for a woman who's in an abusive relationship, sometimes I'm like, you need to get that child to safety. That child is not in a safe place. Why would you stay with that person? Mm. And again, the choices are going back to this fear and insecurity of, well, I can't afford to live on my own, or what am I going to do, or who? And sometimes when they leave the one situation, they go back into a worse situation. And so if we can get to the root of the fear mm-hmm. and the insecurity in mm-hmm. their life and mm-hmm. deal with that and teach them to look to Jesus in being their husband, their maker, their everything, to be able to provide for them, we can help them. We can help them stop gotcha. Making those decisions based on okay. fear and insecurity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, one would be poor choices.
Yeah.
Kind of people doing those out of fear.
Yeah, it could be poor choices. It could be a lot of different situations. You just really have to talk to them. And I'm always asking the Lord for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of us lack wisdom, ask, and it will be given to us. Mm-hmm. Will be, not maybe, will be given to us. And so whenever I'm working with someone, I'm asking the Lord for the root. What is the root of whatever they're struggling with, whether it's depression, like we talked about before earlier in a podcast, or anxiety, or any of these things? What's the root? And a lot of times when I'm asking the Lord for the wisdom, the root comes back to this fear. That is one of the things that triggers it. And it could be fear of being in an unsafe place. It could be fear of, and then you ask yourself, why? Why is she afraid of being in an unsafe place? And so there's a lot of things really tied with fear and insecurity.
Okay. And that kind of is like the part one of my question. The part two is, because we also see in this section 7 here that it starts talking about fear with children. So when working with children or with families, how do you sometimes, like, what steps can you take to get children to overcome their fear of talking about something in, like, a counseling session?
Yeah, that's hard because kids can't always verbalize everything that's going on internally for them. And so depending on their age, sometimes I've even used coloring, like let them color something. And I ask them to show me what's going on in their heart. And so art is really good with them. And you can see some of the things that are going on. And then you can ask them questions about that and see where the fear is coming from. Okay. Yeah, that one, especially you as an artist, it's really amazing. I had a little boy one time who had been sexually molested when he was 5. And his life, his parents were seeing things in his life that they knew were tied to the molestation, but they didn't know how to help him. He was still having terrible nightmares. He was starting to act out with other kids. He was starting to play doctor sometimes with other kids. All of those are huge red flags that, I mean, kids play doctor, don't get me wrong, but not when it becomes where he always wants to play doctor. And so they're like, what is going on? How can we help our child? And so when they came to me, you know, it's hard. He was 7 years old when he came to me. It was hard for him to then verbalize what was going on and how does he tell me. But one of the things I first did with him is I explained to him how fear works in a person's life. And that, because I know most children are afraid to tell their parents what happened. And he even said, or his parents even told me that he didn't tell us at first. Why would he be afraid to tell us? And that's a question I get from a lot of parents. Why would my child be afraid to tell me? Well, when this terrible thing happened to them, inside the child knew what was happening to them was wrong. They feel it's almost the same type of physical feeling they feel when they got in trouble for something. And so when they're little and they're having just a regular childhood and they did something wrong and they got in trouble, they have these emotions inside of them from being disciplined. And so when something like molestation takes place, the child feels that same feeling, that it's almost the same type of emotions, but like 10 times worse. So they're afraid to tell because they think they did something wrong and they're going to get in trouble for it. They don't understand that these issues are much bigger. And if the parent handles it right, they're not going to get in trouble for it. Their parent's going to protect them. But because it's that same feeling, they do what they did if they did something wrong, they know they're going to get in trouble for. So I'm not going to tell my mom and dad because I'm going to get in trouble for this. Right. And so they handle it in the same way and they're afraid to tell. Sometimes the abuser also will tell the child, if you tell anybody, I'm going to do whatever. And, you know, hurt your parent, hurt you, whatever. And so because of that fear, the child is afraid to tell. And so here you have maybe a wounded child coming to you. They're afraid to tell. So one of the things I did with this little boy in particular is I explained that feeling. And I explained to him in terminology he could use and word pictures he could understand. And I said, and it's good for you not to tell everyone, but you need to tell somebody you trust. Like your mom and your dad love you and they really want to help you through it. So it's okay to tell your mom or dad. And I said, but, and if you feel comfortable with me, you can tell me. But if you don't feel comfortable with me, don't. Find someone you can talk to. And he had gone to secular counseling, and I had asked him, how did that go, and why didn't you talk to her, you know, because the parents said he wouldn't talk to her. And I said, why wouldn't you talk to her? And he said, well, I went in her office, and she had just so many toys, and I played with the toys. And so without her realizing it, she thinks she's making an office that's going to be friendly for kids, but she actually gave them an escape way not to deal with the big issue they don't want to deal with by having all these toys. So it was funny because I'm sure that woman really had a heart to help him, you know. And so then I said, why don't you draw a picture of what your fear looks like? And he took like dark colors to draw this picture. And he drew a picture of him and he drew a picture of his little sister. His little sister was like a year and a half younger than him. And then I asked them when we got to session four, which we're talking about in a few months, probably as slow as we're going in the curriculum, and a way to deal with what's going on in their heart and how to give it to the Lord. I asked him to draw me a picture of his anger, and his anger was all black.
Mm.
It was really interesting to see how, even though he can't write words yet or write a whole story or maybe verbalize to you, there's other ways if you ask the Lord for that wisdom how to reach them. And I kept praying, Lord, let me know that I'm reaching this little child. You know, I want to be able to help him, but how will I know? And so after each session, I would bring his mom in the office. Him and his little sister would go play out in another room, and I'd bring his mom in the office and we would talk. And during one of those conversations, the little boy brings his sister. He's seven now. She's five. He brings a little sister. He opens the door, brings his little sister, and pushes her in the room and says, she needs your help too. And I'm just like, wow, that was like so powerful, you know? Yeah. So it was really cool because she had been there when he had been molested. So yeah. So sad situation.
I know that, you know, we, at the end of this this section seven here, you finish out with this verse in 2 Timothy, and I think it kind of is a good way to like wrap up the idea of what we're talking about here. Just to say it for people that aren't, you know, maybe holding the book right in front of them. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I think that was a cool thing for me to kind of see this verse at the end of this section because of what you just got done saying with these examples here. But that you have the spirit of fear is in opposition, like, to the sound mind. You have the spirit of fear or versus sound mind, and you kind of have one or the other in this instance. And we know where that spirit of fear comes from, and comes from the enemy because he's a deceiver. And so I did like seeing, though, that fear is on one side, and then you have power, love, and a sound mind on the other.
Yeah.
So with that verse, I was kind of wondering, is there certain things that you like would use out of like power or love to kind of help get those people out of that mentality of fear? Because I think that when people are afraid, you know, one, obviously they do feel powerless or they maybe don't feel loved. When you're speaking to them, how can you maybe like give them those things? Because I feel like when they're afraid, the idea of obtaining power, if they're feeling powerless, they maybe want it. They just have no idea how to get it.
Exactly.
So how do you give them those tools to kind of come across that bridge?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I was sharing with you yesterday, and I'll share it here. I had a woman one time, I went out on a police call, and that's how I met this woman. And what was so amazing is I ended up starting to work with her. And the first week I was working with her, I was meeting with her almost every day because what she was struggling with, the police call was because they thought she was suicidal. But she was saying, I just want my life to end. But she technically wasn't suicidal. She didn't have a way like, I have a gun, I'm going to go home and shoot myself. So I started meeting with her every day. And at first, this woman's whole life was fear. That was her whole emotion, like 24/7, the adrenaline running on fear. And when I first met her, I'm like asking the Lord, I'm like, Lord, this woman, she's schizophrenic. I don't think I can help her. You know, maybe it's way beyond me. And the Lord's like, it is. It's way beyond you, but it's not way beyond me, you know. And I want you to work with her. And I want you to work with her every day. And I want you to just take her through Go in Peace. And because Go in Peace is a tool that teaches people how to take God's word in a very practical way and apply it to their life, you know? And so it's not like Go in Peace that's changing her life. It's God's word written within Go in Peace in a very easy to understand, tangible way for them. And so I just started taking her through every single page of Go in Peace. And as she started to see scripture and be able to have it taught to her in a way that was understandable and a way that she could then apply it to her life, it was giving her that power. in the situation that she was in, because she had actually been placed in police protective custody because of what happened to her. When you understood this woman's whole story, this woman should be in fear. I mean, that would be a normal emotion.
Yeah.
Of what she would be going through. But God knew that he didn't want her to stay in that spirit of fear. She was, her whole life was revolving around that spirit of fear. But God wanted to give him her, give her his power, his love. And that is what led to a sound mind. So how you broke down that verse, that was like perfect. And so as we just went through the curriculum, really, and I took her through it slowly at first, really making sure that she understood it. And as she started taking those verses home with her and applying, like I might have given her one verse that day, you start to just repeat this in your mind over and over and over and have it become part of who you are and start making decisions. This is key too. Make decision based on that verse, not on your feelings or your emotions. Your emotions are fickle. They're going to change. They're going to go up and down. You're going to be freaked out sometimes, but just go back to that verse and just stay focused on that verse. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, where is it? Let me find it really quick.
Sure. I just want to say that it's really cool. I didn't really think of it like that with someone that has a spirit of fear to give them God's promises. God's promises then are that part of equipping them with power and love to be able to then actually like lean on them.
Yes.
Like you said, because otherwise the emotions or even just plain encouragement might be construed differently to where if they have God's word and they're going home meditating on it, yeah, then that's something that they can really grow from.
Yeah, like Isaiah 26:3 was, there was a time that was scary for me, something God was calling me to do. And I'm like, Lord, that's too scary for me. And he gave me this verse and it's Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Mm. And if we keep our mind steadfast on him and his word, we're have that perfect peace in our hearts. But when we're looking at the situation around us, you know, the world is out of control. We live in a sinful world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of evil out there. And when we're looking at that, that's where fear comes in. I mean, if you watch the news every day, all day long, man, you're going to be filled with fear, you know, because they just sensationalize all of this. But if we instead look at God, his word, his promises, and we keep our minds steadfast on that, that's going to give us that power. It's his power. Mm-hmm. He's going to equip us and strengthen us. And then even as we're focusing on his word, of course, we're going to see his love. Mm-hmm. And what was so interesting in this woman's life is she wasn't schizophrenic. You know, she probably would have been labeled schizophrenic if she had gone to the world's counseling at that point, but she wasn't. She was a woman in fear, acting out of extreme fear, and she just needed her heart to be healed by the Lord over this. But what was so interesting is as she got equipped with God's word, she got rid of the infection in her heart that you'll learn about in session 4 of this curriculum. As all of that took place in her life and God's love was poured into her heart, it then she was just a vessel for his love to come through. And she started going up to LA area and she started working with the street prostitutes on the street. Mm-hmm. So it was just God's love pouring through her to them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just amazing. And so I do love this verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when we focus on his word, that sound mind comes back. Because when you, like in the months as I worked with her, her mind was totally sound. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything wrong with her mind. Mm. And it was just that fear that was crippling her. Mm. And that's all anybody saw in her life, but couldn't put, maybe not put the hit the nail on top of the head, or you know what I mean? Yeah, they couldn't put their finger on it, that's what was going on in her life. They would have met her and thought, she's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? I like what you just said. I'm going to change gears from this woman's story a little bit, but when you're talking about that God gave her this love and filled her as a vessel with his qualities, and then she then was empowered and decided to go out and help others, you know, I feel like that's something that can really be reflected in any area of our lives. You know, I'm even thinking, like, let's say, let's even talk about, like, tithing, you know, like, if we don't believe that God is taking care of us, then God's our provider, and he's our refuge, then we're always going to be too afraid to even maybe tithe the way he's asking us to, because we're going to just be thinking we're going to end up on the streets.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to be believing the lie from the enemy that you have to look out for yourself. No one else is looking out for you. So then you just build up this big fortress, and then you really don't have the opportunity to go out and be used by him, because you think you just got to look out for yourself. But the story with this woman is a great example of, she was so afraid of what was going on in her own life, which, like you said, she had good cause to, but that fear was immobilizing and crippling.
Exactly.
And then when she was able to understand God's characteristics, understand he's her protector, she then was able to trust that and then be used by him.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool.
Well, good conversation today. Thanks for listening to our topic today of fear and insecurity. Feel free to leave any comments or questions. It's our desire to help our listeners grow in their discipleship ministry, so we invite you to be a part.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Sri Verzonki and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve him.